As we move through this Lenten season, let us turn to the New Testament book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Here the writer admonishes us to turn from sin, to stand firm and not give up, and to keep focused on our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who died for our sins. So let us come with repentant hearts as we hear God's word. As for us, we have this large crowd of witnesses around us. So then let us rid ourselves of everything that gets in the way and of the sin which holds on to us so tightly. And let us run with determination the race that lies before us. Let us keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, on whom our faith depends from beginning to end. He did not give up because of the cross. On the contrary, because of the joy that was waiting for him, he thought nothing of the disgrace of dying on the cross. And he is seated at the right hand of God's throne. Think of what he went through, how he put up with so much hatred from sinners. So do not let yourselves become discouraged and give up. This ends the reading. You may be seated.
What a blessing it is for me to be with you today. It's a great gift to be able to consider what I think is a really significant piece of scripture. In fact, if you ever get an email from me, this is what you get at the bottom, because it helps us to keep our feet on the ground. It helps us during times of challenge to remember who we are, but mostly remember who the Lord is. I invite you to join me in a word of prayer. Loving Father, we thank you for bringing us into your house today. We thank you for the blessing of your word, and we ask, O Lord, that your Spirit would be here, that he would open our hearts to receive what you've set apart for us today. Bless us, O Lord, that we might be changed and transformed by the touch of your word, that it might grant to us the blessing of hope. Not a hope that wonders if something is going to happen, but a hope that is certain and sure, and anticipates the blessing that you've set apart. Give this to us today, O Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'd like to ask you to begin today by doing a little remembering. And I'm hoping I can get this guy to work for me. And it's not wanting to do that. Could you guys just manually do it for me? Did you hit the first one? I'm going to ask you to remember. It was a time of disappointment, frustration, perhaps. Something took place. There was some kind of a challenge that you're facing. Maybe it was relational, between you and somebody else or a group of people. Maybe it was a circumstance that you hadn't prepared for, that you weren't ready for. Maybe it was just something you were hoping for that didn't take place. And inside you had feelings of disappointment, frustration. There might have been anger and tears, perhaps. Maybe you found yourself asking God, how could you let this happen? Or the great question that we never get an answer to, Job teaches us that, why did this have to happen? We just don't know. We find ourselves challenged by these things, and let's hit it again. We find ourselves upset. And maybe, if you'll notice the pictures that are before you, these people are alone, and they feel alone, and they feel the weight of being alone. You're not the only one that has ever felt this way. It's a part of your story, and maybe it's a part of your story that you don't want to really face or you'd prefer to forget about. But this is an opportunity. It's a great opportunity. It's an opportunity that many people over the years have been blessed by, ultimately. Because as we go into the letter to the Hebrews this morning, there's a word that starts our reading that wasn't in the translation that you heard, but it is a part of the original text. And that word is therefore. Therefore. And the word therefore means that on the basis of what went before, now I'm going to tell you something. Now I'm going to give you something. And the writer to the Hebrews in chapter 11 begins by talking about faith. The definition for faith is given to us. Faith is the assurance of what we hope for, the certainty of things that we don't see. Faith is the assurance of what we hope for, the certainty of things that we don't see. And then the writer goes on to tell us about a lot of people. And let's just run through this list. There's a bunch of them here. There is Abel. Just keep going. There's Enoch. There's Noah. There is Abraham. There is Jacob. There is Joseph. We'll stop right there. He also talks about Moses. And what the writer tells us is that each of these people were faced with a situation that was really challenging. Well, Abel, things didn't end well for him, did they? Enoch was someone that we don't know a whole lot about either, but the scriptures just tell us that he walked with God and that one day God took him home. He was one of those guys that didn't have to experience the challenge of death. Noah, well, we know about Noah. Noah is the guy who was called upon to build a big boat where there was no water. At least at first, there was no water there. Abraham's the guy I really want to think about today, so we'll come back to him. Jacob, man, when I think about Jacob, there's really not a redeeming story in Genesis about Jacob. I dare you to find a story that paints Jacob in a good light. He tricked his parents. He tricked his brother out of what was rightfully his. He was not a good father. He favored one of his kids to the point that they hated him. About the only thing that I can find good about Jacob is that he worshiped God on his staff as an old man. That, honestly, Jacob is an amazing story because his name was changed to Israel, okay? And the children of Israel are the legacy of God's chosen people. It's kind of an amazing thing that God would pick Jacob for that. And then there's Joseph, who also kind of threw things up in the face of his brothers and got himself into a bad spot. But it's Abraham that I want to think about because of all the people in the Old Testament, Abraham is the one that we point to a lot. Did Abraham do everything right? Absolutely not. In fact, there were two moments in particular that he was so afraid that he lied to a ruler saying that his wife was actually his sister. And not only did he do it once, he did it twice. Abraham is identified as a man of faith, but not perfectly. They all had situations and circumstances that were challenging to them. And the scripture at the end of chapter 11 says this: these were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. In other words, God made promises to these people. What did he promise Abraham? Do you remember? Yes. Yeah, father of many nations, right? Look up into the stars in the sky. Can you count them? That's how many descendants you're going to have. He promised Abraham, look at all this land. I'm going to give it to you. Did he do that in Abraham's lifetime? He didn't. Abraham owned one piece of property when he died, his tomb at Machpelah that he had buried his wife in before that. None of these people received the fullness of the promise while they walked the earth. And yet, they're pointed to as people of faith. And they are set apart for us as we think about what it means to be the people of God. Now go back to that situation that I asked you to remember. And you are walking with these people because they had situations just like this. Let's go to the next slide. This is the text for today, the one that I worked with. Hit it again. Notice that first word, therefore. Since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, that's all those stories that were given in chapter 11, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Now, there's something very interesting about the way that this sentence was originally written. Verses 1 and 2 in the original language are one sentence. That's the way Greek was written, really long sentences. And if you are a student of English, they use a lot of participles. Participles are words that look like verbs but aren't. They're more like adjectives, okay? Could you hit it one more time? That, let us run, is the main verb of verses 1 and 2. And the other phrases around it talk about how we can run. Because, setting a condition, we're surrounded by all of these witnesses. Now, this is how we run, by throwing off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And it doesn't stop there with a period. Also, fixing our eyes on Jesus. And then it describes who he is, the author and perfecter of our faith. So, how do we throw off sin? How do we throw off those obstacles, those things that take us in? First, we got to identify what they are. The things that are burdens to you, especially when you find yourself in the midst of a situation that would threaten to take you down, are the things that are going on inside of your mind. The things that you tell yourself. The things that get in the way. If you feel like somebody's hurt you, then you got feelings of anger, frustration. Maybe you're feeling disappointed because things didn't go the way that you thought they would. Your expectations weren't met. And because those expectations weren't met, you can't let go of them. You know, we all carry around a bunch of expectations for how we think our life is supposed to go. And those expectations have to do, often we make them conditional. Well, you know, if I have enough faith, or if I do the right things, then God's going to give me what I want, and life's going to be good. But you know what? God loves you too much to do that. I'm going to say that again. God loves you too much to always give you what you think you want. Because when it comes right down to us, the things that we think we want aren't always the things that are best. They're not always the ways that God wants to bring his blessing into our lives. See that little guy right there? That's my grandson. That's huge. It's a great blessing to me, but you know, he doesn't always want things that are good for him. And neither did my kids when they were that age. I wouldn't let my child drive the car when he was 5 years old. There's no way, Peter, you're not going to drive the car. Now he can, of course, because he's ready for it. And God also will give to us the things that are a blessing to us. But often we're our own worst enemy. Because with that big load of expectations that we carry around about what we think our life ought to be, if we're going to receive the gift that God wants to give to us, we have to put down the expectation first so that our hands are free to receive what He wants to give. Not to mention the fact that there's sin involved in this too. Sin is the thing that gets us to focus on ourselves. And it's sin that keeps us from seeing with the eyes of faith. Because when it's sin that's in the midst of our situation, when it's sin that's speaking into the situation, it's self that's speaking into the situation. Do you remember the original temptation in Genesis chapter 3? The serpent said, "You can be like God." And ever since, that's what we want to be. We want to be like God. We want to be the ones who decide the way things are going to be. We want to be the ones who tell God what He should do. And that gets in our way. And it keeps us from receiving the blessing that God wants to give. I've kind of forgotten where we are in the PowerPoint here. Let's hit the next one. So how do we run? I've already hit on some of these. Let's bounce through these. By casting off those impediments, by casting off the sin, and by fixing our attention on Jesus. When you fix your attention on Jesus, what do you see? What do you see? You see the Almighty, Eternal God, who needs nothing, who isn't really needing anything from the people He created, because He's God. But what you also see is love, a sacrificial love. Do you know that when God formed Adam and Eve, He was committing Himself to the cross right then? Because being God, He knew what was going to happen. But His love for His people is so great that He says, "Yes, I will. I'm in. I'm ready to give it all. Even for these people who might not receive what I want to give them. I'm ready, and I will." And so it's during these 40 days of Lent, these weeks before we get ready for Easter, we reflect upon the depth of what that really means. I know that there are times when you think things are unfair. I do. I get frustrated with the situations that God calls me to deal with, situations that happen in my own life or at home, situations that are a part of the role that He's given to me in His kingdom. And I ask that question all the time. Why? Why does it have to be this way? And often I'm hearing the crickets, you know. There isn't an answer. But what I do hear when I stop to listen is I hear the voice of the Lord saying, "Follow me. Follow me." With all of these great heroes of faith, we're looking at their story in retrospect. We get to see how God worked everything out, how He brought closure and conclusion and blessing. But have you ever thought about what it must have been like to walk that road? To be those people? Did Noah know that Mount Ararat was going to catch that ark? When the boat is tossing and turning and the rain's coming down and he's got all these animals inside and it stinks and he's got to feed them and his kids are getting on his case. Do you think he had it all together all the time? I don't. We know that Abraham didn't because he was so afraid at least twice that he lied. Even knowing who God was, all these people had their moments. And if we're going to run, if we're going to run with Jesus, then it's important for us to do things like we're doing right now, and that is taking a little bit of time to stop, to reflect, to think about what does it mean to be God's person? What are the things that I'm letting get in my way of running the race? What are the things I need to get rid of? What are the things that I need to incorporate into my life so that I can run with Jesus? Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you might not grow weary and lose heart. That's the call. That's the call. My expectation in being with you today is that you're asking some of these questions, personally, to be sure, but also as the body of Christ here in this place. Because you're experiencing a bit of upheaval and some change. Stuff is going on. And you might be asking yourself, what are we going to do? Where is this leading us? What does this mean for us as the body of Christ here at Beautiful Savior? And the word that I would have for you is simply this: God knows. And frankly, right now, that probably has to be enough. And what the Lord does for his children is he doesn't give us everything all at the same time. He gives us what we can handle. And he calls us to keep walking and to follow him one step at a time. He places the breadcrumbs in the path. Do you think it's our right to say, God, I'm not going until you show me the whole thing? I'm staying right here until you tell me how we're going to get there. That's not our right. We are the children of God, right? The children of God. So he's teaching us, and he's leading us one step at a time to the place where he wants us to be. Remember those words? None of these people received everything while they were here. But when that day comes, God will give it to us. God will give it to us in its fullness. Let's go on to the next slide. Just recently, Dust actually and I both got to hear this this past week, a devotion at a meeting that we were at. And the person leading the devotion pointed out something I thought was really cool, especially as I was thinking about what I would share with you today. There's a difference between faith and trust. Faith asks us to hold on to things. Faith is the assurance of what we hope for, and we're holding on to those things that we hope for, the promises that God's given, the things that are really important for us as we seek to be his people in the world. But trust often involves letting go. Because in order to make that journey, sometimes you have to let go. It's like that picture of our expectations. You carry your expectations with you, and when you're challenged by those expectations, you have to put them down so that you can receive what God wants to put into your hand. That's trust. The action of putting down your expectations for how things are supposed to go is trust. Because you trust that God's going to fill your arms with good things then. God calls us to live a life of faith, holding on to those promises that He's given, and trust, being willing to lay down those things that we think we really want and that are really important, so that we can receive what God wants to give us. Life on this side of heaven is a challenge, is it not? It's not easy. We don't have that crystal ball that lets us see into the future and know exactly what's going to be ahead for us. We take steps day by day. Hebrews tells us that we need to throw off those things that would hold us back. Our entanglements, our burdens, our challenges. And we need to rid ourselves of the sin. Those things that you're telling yourself that aren't true. The burdens that you lay on yourself that just don't fulfill. Those distances that you have in your relationships with people that cause the friction, that cause the separation, the anxiety that we have from not knowing. Into those things, we speak the promises of God. I'm with you. I know you. I know the plan I have for you. Plan not to harm you, but to give you a hope and a future. I'm with you always to the very end of the age. Everyone who hears my voice follows me. Everyone who hears what I have to say and receives that receives life. I am the resurrection and the life. All those promises, they keep flooding into us. And you know, there's one very significant one that we don't always remember. It's the last thing that the scriptures record in red letters. If you have a red letter Bible, you know, that put Jesus' words in red letters. The last one is Jesus says, I'm coming soon. You believe that? I'm coming soon. It might be soon for us personally, or it might be soon for the whole world. But Jesus is coming soon. And He promises to bring with Him all those things that deliver. All those gifts. The things that the people that are recorded in Hebrews had to wait to receive, He will bring to us too. I don't know what tomorrow will hold. I'm not sure what your journey is going to be here. I know that you're on the front end of a new chapter in the life of your congregation. And that means that you have to let go of some things that have been. It certainly does that. But it also means that God's got some things ahead for you too. Do you like presents? God is a great Father. And just as all loving fathers do, He likes to surprise His children. But if we're not ready to put down what we're carrying so that we can receive the gift, we're never going to open it. And my encouragement to you and to me is to throw off everything that holds you back, that holds me back. The sin that drags me down, that keeps me locked in to a status quo when God's got something ahead for me that's even better. And let's run. Let's run with Jesus. Let's run with him. You know, running is always better when you don't do it by yourself. When you have someone to run with you, Jesus is the great companion. He's going to keep you on the track. And he's going to make you strong. And he's going to bring health and blessing and wonderful things that are ahead for you. Would you join me in prayer, please? Lord God, I pray that you would open our hearts to receive the blessings that are coming. Lord, you know that our preference is to hold on to what we've got. And I ask, Lord, that now you would bless us with hearts of faith and trust that are ready to lay down what we're holding in order to receive what you want to give. Bless us, O Lord, as we walk into a future that you know and that we're discovering. Bless us with faith that helps us to recognize that you're already there and we're joining you on that journey. Grant to us the resources that we need, both internal and external. Help us to cast off all those things that would hold us back and the sin that drags us down. Help us, O Lord, to keep our eyes on you, the one who comes every day, the one who brings forgiveness, the one who brings renewal, the one who brings life to us day after day after day. Bless us with that faith and trust that we might receive it in its fullness. It's in your precious name that we pray. Amen.